And look at about three people and tell them you are blessed and highly favored of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! If you would turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. My subject this morning, out with the old, in with the new. Out with the old, in with the new. We are about to close out 2019 and move into a new year, 2020. 2019 will be history in a few days, but it was a great year for us. It was a year of salvations and deliverances, people being filled with the Holy Ghost, miracles and healings, and God has richly rewarded us. It was truly a year of restoration. That was the word that Paul Jackson called in 1918. He said, I've got one word for you, restoration. That thing got a hold of my spirit and is still hanging on to it. It's a year of restoration. God has been showing up in great power and in great glory. And we are right on the verge of a new year, 2020. And I want 2020 to be a year of the harvest, a year of even greater manifestations of God's Spirit, a year of tremendous growth where people come to see the true and the living God. Now, I preached four sermons in the closing months of 2019 on the blood covenant. This will be my fifth sermon on the blood covenant. There are two covenants, and we don't hear much about covenants, and therefore so many people, they struggle and they struggle and they struggle trying to win the victories in life. But today I want to point out that God has provided assurance for us that he will provide his part of the covenant. And God also provides assurance for us that our part of the covenant can be fulfilled. God is for you. And God has provided everything for you that pertains to righteousness and true holiness. But unless you understand the new and the better covenant that we have through Christ Jesus our Lord, you will never enter into all he has provided for you. This is not only a problem in today's church, but this has been a problem in the church since its conception. People began their Christian walk by trusting in God for salvation. They trust the Spirit that convicts them of their sin, and they come to Jesus wholly, totally committing themselves to him. They seek him later, and they try to overcome things by the flesh and by their works and by the keeping of the law. The Apostle Paul, he addressed this very issue in dealing with the church at Galatia, which brings me to my text, Galatians 3 and 1. Look at this. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has evidently been set forth, crucified among you? See, the key to the total victory that God has purposed for you is not only was he set forth crucified, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. Paul said, knowing this, that the old man of sin is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is free from sin. Now look at Galatians 3 and 1. Paul said, this only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? See, the religious Jews, they had come in trying to convince these Christians that had been born again through the blood of Jesus, convicted by the power of the Holy Ghost, that they need to keep some ceremonial laws. Religion is cruel, and that's why you need to get into the Word of God and find out who you are in Christ Jesus. My subject this morning, out with the old, in with the new. Brother Philip, would you come up and pray God's blessings on his servant and also on this message, that God would give us all a listening ear.
Father God, we thank you today, another opportunity you've afforded us to come together in your name. We thank you for your presence here this day. Lord, we pray that you would continue to manifest your presence among us. Bless, Lord, your word as it goes forth. Give my brother the anointing, that Holy Ghost anointing, a double anointing to deliver to us the oracles of God. Give us ears and that are open and receptive to your word, minds that are ready to receive it, and hearts that are willing and ready to obey it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, prayer team, for praying, and those that come to pray on Friday nights and that pray in your homes for this church and for this ministry. I always ask the Lord to help me preach his gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. You know, God is a good God, and God wants you saved. And since the fall of man, God has always been trying to initiate and provide salvation for mankind. In Abraham, God found a man who would obey him, who would trust him, and who would keep covenant. He believed God, and the Bible says it was accounted unto him for righteousness. That's how you become the righteousness of God. You believe God, and you make that commitment to God that you will serve him. Abraham believed God. It was accounted unto him for righteousness, but that was not so with his seed. And when Israel came out of Egyptian bondage, the law was given at Mount Sinai. Under the old covenant, no sooner had the law been given than Israel broke it. From the story of the golden calf, Moses breaking the tablets of stone onward, we have the sad fact of man's continual departure from God. God has always wanted a people that would love him, a people that would obey him, a people that would serve him. That's why we have a covenant with God. And the Bible says that we have a new and a better covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the great high priest of our confession. Hallelujah. And in every covenant, there are two parties, and the very foundation of the covenant, it rests on the fact that each part of the covenant, they must be faithful to their part of the covenant. Unfaithfulness on either side breaks the covenant. Now look at the latter part of Jeremiah 11 and 4. Look at what God says. God says, obey my voice and do them, do my covenant, my word, according to all which I have commanded you, so that you may be my people and I will be your God. Those words contain the whole condition of the old covenant where Israel was what they were supposed to do. And when they disobeyed God, guess what? The covenant was broken. That's why they had the continual sacrifices. They had the ordinances. They had the Day of Atonement simply because Israel could not keep the covenant. And they could not keep it simply because of the condition of their heart. And so the heart of the problem that mankind was facing was the condition of man's heart. But God is always been the one since the Garden of Eden that has initiated salvation. You didn't go looking for God. God came looking for you. God said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you ask of the Father, you may receive it because you keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. But if your heart has not been transformed by the blood of Jesus, how can you keep his words and how can you live the victorious life by the works of the flesh? You cannot. Amen? See, God is the one who initiates salvation. God is a good God. And God loves you and God wants to have fellowship with you and God wants to have a relationship with you. But under the old covenant, Israel continually failed. But I want you to look at the promise that God gave to the prophet Ezekiel. Look at this. Ezekiel 36:26. Look at this. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Look at verse 27. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. God is literally saying, out with the old and in with the new. Hallelujah. God is saying, I am going to do a work in your heart that you cannot do. And so I'm going to show up and I'm going to make you my temple. I'm no longer dwelling in temples made with hands. The veil has been rent in two from top to bottom. You are the temple of the living God. God said, I'll walk in them. I'll dwell in them. I'll be their God and they shall be my people. Somebody go on and praise him. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to God. Under the old covenant, God said, if you will keep my commandments, I will be your God. And nothing could help man until the law was replaced by God when God said, I will put my spirit within you and you will obey my voice. See, the secret of the new covenant is it deals with the heart of man, where God puts his nature in man so they can walk in his ways. That's what salvation is all about. Salvation is about a change in the heart of man. It's not outwardness, it's an inwardness. It is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And once you get that relationship right, everything else in your life will line up with the Word of God. He will take the struggle out of the struggling. That doesn't mean you won't have problems. That doesn't mean you won't go through hard places. That just means that you have a covenant-keeping God that when it's dark and when you can't see the way, he says, put your hand in my hand, walk out into the darkness. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you can come to the Father through me because of the blood of the everlasting covenant. Somebody go on and praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at Romans 10 and 8. Here's how you got into this thing, Romans 10 and 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. And look at this. And in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. See, we're not preaching ceremonial laws here. We are preaching God's amazing grace. We are preaching the word of faith, the word that will cause faith to arise in your heart. Faith may not have gotten here yet, but faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Just like goodness and mercy, they're on the trail and following the Christian everywhere they go. Faith, praise God. Faith will rise. Stir up the gifts that are within you. Praise him and believe him because he said, I'm putting my laws and my presence and my spirit into your heart. Go on and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at this, verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Look at this. The heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I don't want to just believe in salvation. I want to confess my way unto it. I don't want to just believe in prosperity. I want to confess my way unto it. I don't want to just believe in healing. I want to confess my way unto it because I believe in my heart that God is a good God. And I believe God is a covenant keeping God. I believe God will keep his word to me. And if I fail, praise God, God is for me and I've got an advocate. If I repent, praise God, God will put me right back in the race. God said, I'm putting my laws in your heart. I'm writing them in your mind. Go on and praise him for the new and the better covenant. Hallelujah. See, it's in the new birth that God writes his laws in our hearts. It's in the new birth that he gives us the desire to serve him. It's a new and a better covenant. Look at Hebrews 8 and 10. God says, through the writer of Hebrews, the Apostle Paul, he said, For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. Not saith the preacher, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them in their hearts. And I will be unto them a God, and they shall be unto me my people. So in providing for our salvation, God has bestowed upon us two wonderful, wonderful gifts. First of all, God sent His Son to redeem us from the law so that we might receive the adoption of sons. We are born into the family, but we are adopted in the family. You got a double portion blessing when you got saved. You just need to ask God to open your eyes so you can see everything that belongs to you. Secondly, because we are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. God's great objective in working in out our salvation was to gain possession of our heart. Oh, do you love Him today? Do you thank Him today? Are you happy to be born again? Let Him know it from your heart. Hallelujah. Isaiah said that people are giving me a lip worship. See, that's all they could do. But we can give Him heart worship because we've got the Spirit of God within us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. But until you receive this revelation from the Spirit of God, you can never reign in life. Amen. We're to reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God has put His Spirit within us, and God has provided everything that pertains to life and to godliness. Glory to God. The covenant, the old covenant, all it could do was convict of sin. The new covenant puts away sin, and it cleanses the heart from all filthiness of the flesh. Thank God for the new and the better covenant that we have with Christ. Look at Galatians 4 and 6. I love this. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, an heir through Jesus Christ. And then Paul goes on to say in the book of Romans, we are heirs and joint heirs with Him. That means that everything He has, not half of it belongs to me, not half of it belongs to you. Everything God has through the Son Jesus Christ, hallelujah, you can appropriate it by faith in the everlasting blood covenant that Jesus Christ cut at Calvary. Go on and praise Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God has provided everything we need in order to serve Him. And what we lost in the first Adam, we regained through the last Adam, Christ Jesus, our Savior. And God wants to rule in our hearts. And then God wants us to rule and reign in life and have everything He has purposed for our life. I want you to look at Romans 5:17. I preached a whole sermon on a series of sermons on this right here. This is powerful. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Quit trying to do it in your human strength. Surrender your total heart to God and the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth. He will teach you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will give you revelation. He will show you things to come. He's not up there and out there and over there somewhere. He doesn't just show up on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. Praise God. He said, I'm coming to abide in your heart forever. Go on and praise Him. Hallelujah. It's an everlasting blood covenant. Glory to God. Amen. Everything Jesus accomplished in His redemptive work, it belongs to you. He died that you might live. He was made sin with our sin so we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. He gave His back to the smiters so we could be healed. He suffered shame to give us His glory. He was condemned so that we might be justified. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He was cast from the Father's presence so that you and I could be welcome there. You and I, we are identified with Christ in His redemptive work and everything He did at the cross. He did it all because of you and me. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Woo! That we should be called the children of God as and joined as with Jesus Christ. Oh, Brother Woody, I'm reminded of a sermon that you provoked in me years ago. You can't lose with the stuff I use, and you can't go wrong with what I'm on. I'm on a double dose of the Holy Ghost, and that's what God wants for His people. He wants you to be filled with the Spirit, because God said, I'm putting my laws and my word and my presence inside of you. I used to dwell in temples made with hands, but now I'm going to dwell in temples made by my hands, by the Spirit of God. Go on, praise Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus lets us know that God is a good God, and that He has purposed for us a life of victory and a life of abundance. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So many think, people, they think that God is a harsh God, just waiting for us to make a mistake. But holiness with harshness, it never saved anybody. It's God's amazing grace. Hallelujah. Don't go by what some church folks say God is like. Don't go by what religion says God is like. Go by what the Bible says God is like, because the only way you're going to know God is through the Spirit, as He breaks revelation of the Word of God and opens your mind up to receive the things of God. Go on and praise Him that you got the Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Look at my text once again, Galatians 3 and 1 and following. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has evidently been set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? See, the law was our schoolmaster. It was given because God was working out a plan to come and live within man's heart and to redeem him completely by the blood of Jesus. The law was given that we might be justified by faith in Jesus Christ. And the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ, it has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, it was weak through the flesh. God sent His Son and condemned sin in the flesh. God said, I'm going to put my laws in your heart. I'm going to write them in your mind. I'm going to give you the strength. I'm going to give you the power. I'm going to give you the anointing to walk in a way that pleases me. So every nudge of the Holy Ghost, every time He convicts you of something, every time you feel wrong about something, take that as a nudge of God. He's nudging you so you'll separate yourself from that, sanctify yourself completely, and draw nigh to God. And God said, if you'll draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. Go on and praise Him. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Glory to God. God took the initiative to save us. And we're not under the law of sin and death, but we are under the law of grace. Look at Ephesians 2 and 8. Paul would kept driving this point home to every church that he visited. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith. Look at this. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. And catch the next verse. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You can try to make yourself good, but I promise you, you will fall far short of the course. But when you put your hands and your trust in that nail-scarred hand and in the blood of the everlasting covenant, God will bring you forth victorious through every trial, through everything that you go through. God said, you're going to go through them, but you won't go through them alone. I'm going to be there with you. I'm in your heart and in the darkest valley. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me, the church, in the presence of mine enemies. Hallelujah. I can go to church and get with people of like precious faith, and all of a sudden, praise God, that wheel is in the wheel, starts turning and churning in me, and I feel so good because I've been washed by the Word of God, cleansed by the blood, and the Holy Ghost is working. Go on and praise Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at verse 10, Ephesians 2 and 8. For we are His workmanship. He's working on you. Don't be discouraged because you haven't arrived. Be encouraged because there's a spirit convicting you when you do wrong. God is for you. God is not against you. Hallelujah. For we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God has before ordained unto the world for His glory, that we should walk in them. So you may not have obtained victory in every area of your life, but I want to tell you, it's God that is at work in you. And church, we need to encourage one another. You need to pray for me that I'll come with a word so the Holy Ghost can open your mind. Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you may know the hope of His calling and the riches of the grace of His mercy, which was wrought in Christ Jesus when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come, and had put all things under His foot and gave Him to be the head of the church, which is His body, that it the name of Jesus, praise God, the church will do exploits and wonders. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. You got His name. You got His blood. Go on and use it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God took the initiative to save us. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I've come to do the Father's will. He said, the works that I do, they're not my works. They're the works of Him that sent me. Just follow Jesus around through the pages of the Bible, and I promise you, you will find out just how good God is. Jesus heals the sick. Jesus casts out devils. Jesus relieves the oppressed. Jesus sets the captive free. Jesus performs miracle after miracle after miracle. That's God the Father revealing Himself in the person of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen what God is like. Don't think of God as being some harsh person. No, it's the goodness of God that brings us to repentance. And then once we come, He continually works on us to conform us into the image of His dear Son. Now, Jesus, I love this story. He stands before a woman taken in adultery. And all those religious people there standing there, and they throw her down at Jesus' feet, and they say, the law says we should stone her. But what do you say? You know, that's a picture of religion at its worst. They are pointing an accusing finger at fallen humanity. And the little woman, she's been caught in the very act of adultery. And there she is, she's guilty. And God is revealing Himself to her in the person of Jesus Christ. This is one of the greatest, greatest pictures of God's grace in the entire Bible. And Jesus stooped down and He touched the dirt. That's what He did when He saved me. He reached down and He touched the dirt. He touched the dirt that day and He wrote on the ground. And then He looked up and He said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And they began to walk away. And Jesus began to write on the ground once again. And they walked away simply because nobody is without sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But that doesn't advocate that we're to live a life of sin. Oh, no. Jesus, He stood up. After He stooped down and wrote that second time, He stood up, glory to God, to lift suffering humanity into the presence of God. Thank God that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He's a loving God. He's a wonderful God. He's a merciful Savior. Hallelujah. Jesus just stood there and lifted that woman, and he said, "Where are your accusers? Has no man condemned thee?" And she said, "No man, Lord." I like that. She made him Lord. And now, hear the words of God Almighty, the Father of all mercy, to this woman caught in this act of adultery. "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." God is a good God. God is a God of mercy. God is a God of love. God cares about us. He's the God of the second chance, the third chance, the fourth chance, the slim chance, the fat chance, the thousand chances. If you have fallen a million times, praise God, get up. God has a light burning for you, and he is wanting for you to come home. Hallelujah. God took the initiative to save us. My Lord, what a wonderful God. And God, guess what? He never gives up on his dream for any of us. If you will rise up and take Jesus into your heart and yield your life to him completely, God will break the power of alcohol. God will break the power of pornography. God will break the power of drugs. God will break the power of any bondage that is holding you. That's the reason for the new covenant. There's power in the blood. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. What could wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What could make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No, the fount I know. Nothing, 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 nothing but the blood. Go on and cry. The blood has cleansed me. The blood has justified me. The blood declares my victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Christ's work of holiness in our heart can only deepen as we cry to him for deliverance and freedom. The Holy Spirit, he takes the things of Jesus Christ and reveals them to us. And then he imparts them to us. And the more we desire to know God, and the more we want to walk in new covenant realities, the greater our knowledge and our love for him will be. The new covenant deals with the heart, and God has put his desires and his spirit within our heart. God said, "I put my laws inside of you. I write them in your hearts. I will be to you a God, and you shall be to me a people." Not if you keep my law. No, that was the old covenant. At with the old, in with the new. God said, "I'm putting it in your heart because I want to capture your heart by my amazing grace and my love for you." I remember as a young Christian, I lost my temper one time. I thought I'd overcome that. God done such great things in my life. And I said some unkind words. I didn't curse. I just showed a bad attitude. And the Holy Ghost, he convicted me. I felt so bad. I had failed. And I didn't realize that the same power that saved me would be the same power that would keep me. And I repented and I repented and I kept repenting over and over and over for several days. And I went to prayer the following Monday morning, as my custom was. I would start every week before I went to work in corporate America. I would start every week by going to prayer to set the course for that week. And I went into that prayer room. I was the only one there at the time. I fell across that altar that morning. I threw myself across that altar, and I said, "Oh, God, I am so sorry." And the Holy Ghost spoke to me, and he said, "How did you get saved?" And I said, "By faith in the Son of God, by faith in the blood of Jesus." And the Holy Ghost said, "You mean you didn't save yourself?" I said, "Oh, no, I could never do that." And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, "You can't keep yourself either." And it was at that time that I realized that the same Spirit that saves us, it is the same Spirit that sanctifies us and it keeps us. That could never happen under the old covenant. But under the new covenant, God writes his laws in our heart. And he gives us a desire to live a holy life. And then he imparts his righteousness to us. Glory to God. He was made sin with our sin that we might be made the righteous of God in him. And look at 1 John 1:9. If you sin, you don't have to die and go to hell. If we sin, 1 John 1, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God cleanses us. Now, under the new covenant, we have an advocate with the Father. And God is for us. And he said, everything is taken care of by the blood and by the Spirit, because I've written my laws in your heart. And when you fail, then if you repent, I will restore you. And what we must learn is this. We can trust the Lord to keep us. And we can trust him to sanctify us. And just as much as we can trust him to save us. Look at Jude verse 24. The Holy Ghost always has a way of showing me something, and then he'll show me the scripture. That's the way he deals with me. Look at this. It says, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding great joy. You will never be any more faultless than you were when the blood of Jesus was applied to your heart. You will never be any more righteous. You cannot grow in righteousness, but you can grow in grace and knowledge. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ imputed his very own righteousness to you. And when you go to the throne of God's amazing grace through the everlasting blood covenant in the name of Jesus, you stand there in the presence of God Almighty, just as righteous as the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I know that blows the religious world's mind, but that's all right. I am the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Where sin did abound, the Bible says, grace is much more abound. Now God has taken the initiative and put his Spirit in our hearts. It's God working in us. You're the temple of the living God. We are partakers of his divine nature. We have escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust, simply because God says, I'm putting my laws and my desires in your heart. And I'm going to make it possible for you to live a victorious Christian life. I've watched Thomas Bland as his pastor. Love you, Brother Thomas. I've watched him as a Christian, and over the years, I've watched him obtain victory after victory. When he came here, he was a broken man. He came to Jesus like I did, broken. He was a millionaire, and he lost it all. But he gave his heart and his life to Jesus. Thomas obtained victory after victory, but after years of serving God, he still had a problem with nicotine that he just could not overcome. And on one New Year's Day, about 3 years ago, the Holy Ghost spoke to him, and the Holy Ghost said, Thomas, you have more confidence in those withdrawal symptoms than you do in my power to deliver you. Now, withdrawal symptoms, they carry some pain with them. But where sin did abound, grace does much more abound. The Holy Ghost told him, you got more confidence in those withdrawal symptoms than you do in my power to deliver you. God, Thomas threw those cigarettes into the trash can. He walked through the door, and he told me, and he's testified in this church, I have never wanted another one since then. See, what you cannot do and what the law cannot do, God can do by his amazing sanctifying power of the Spirit of God. We don't preach a message of condemnation. Paul said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you're walking after the Spirit, if you're walking to please God, if you have not arrived yet as your pastor, I want to encourage you. You just hold on, praise God. The best is yet to come. God is working on you. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God has qualified you. God has made you worthy. God has made you a new creation in Christ. You are what God said you are. You have what God said you have. And you can do what God says you can do, because you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. You have his life. You have his Spirit. You have his nature. You have his blood. You have his name. You have his power. You have his word. Glory to God. So stand up to the devil. Stand up to the flesh. Stand up to problems in life. Stand up to sickness and disease. Stand up to that dark cloud of depression that comes over you. Stand up against and say, no, no, no. No, you don't, devil. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I'm a child of the King. I'm washed in the blood. I'm more than a conqueror. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Thanks be unto God, which always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus my Lord. No weapon formed against me shall ever prosper. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, that's God's promise to you, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Let's stand and praise God in the house. Hallelujah. Victory is not your responsibility. Victory is your response to God's ability in your life. Let me say that again. Victory is not your responsibility. Victory is your response to God's ability to work in your life. Sing it, brother. Hallelujah.
Like me, I once was lost.
Hallelujah.
I fell, was blind, and now I see.